You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey everyone, welcome to Page to Stage,
a conversation with theater makers.
We're your hosts.
That's Brian.
And that's Mary.
Join us as we focus the spotlight back on the theater maker to uncover their process.
We speak with folks in the industry that often aren't heard from,
such as stage managers, producers, crew members, marketing professionals,
and everything in between. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Happy Saturday, Brian.
Happy Saturday. I feel like it's any day of the week. It could be any day because I'm doing the same thing over and over again.
We're celebrating our 1 year anniversary of our first podcast release, essentially. And so we thought we'd spend this episode just chatting with each other, catching up, letting our listeners get to know us a little bit more, because we hardly talk about ourselves unless we're relating to our guests in some capacity or we're with some story. So yeah, I'm very excited about this. I'm also very nervous about this.
Yeah, I'm nervous, but you know what? It's been such a crazy full year. I mean, I just honestly can't believe how much we've packed into a year, because it doesn't feel like only a year. It feels like this has been a part of our lives for so much longer.
Yeah.
So much has happened, but let's
can
dive in
a
with a... Yeah, you can ask me a question.
Okay. So it's because
I'm a little nervous
topic
for all these questions from her.
No. It's okay. No, because I also kind of want to answer for myself as well, but I want to know what you think first. So what is the number one thing?
I have so many questions like that.
Okay, great. So I want to know what the number one thing is that has surprised you on this process of podcasting.
Honestly, like the number one thing that surprised me is how willing people are to help or say yes to doing episodes with us and just sharing their stories. You always get told, at least on the performer's side, like, you're going to get a lot of no, a lot of no, a lot of no, and maybe you'll get a yes here and there. Whereas this side of things, it's quite the opposite. We've gotten so many yeses, and they don't really say no. They kind of just don't answer if we're getting rejected, per se.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, I'm not even sure we even had a lot of people who just haven't answered us. I think with some healthy follow-up eventually, because everyone's so busy.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Like, even the people that don't respond right away or don't respond at all, it's not personal because everybody's so busy. And it sounds small to just ask them to come and record up to an hour with us. But, you know, it is like cutting a 3-hour chunk out of your day, at least. And some people mentally have to prepare themselves for that kind of stuff. It's interesting to see how our guests ask us about what kind of questions they're going to be asked on the podcast. And I always try and say, like, it's a conversation. It's a conversation. We're just going to get to things as we talk. But some people are like, can I have sample questions? And then some people I'm like, you don't want to know questions. You don't want anything. Because I'd rather the most spontaneous.
Yes. But I also have found at the end of recording, how many people have really said to us like, wow, that either flew by, or wow, that like really felt like just a chat, like that we weren't even recording. Like I forgot we were recording. And that to me is like the biggest compliment. I don't know if you feel the same way, but like
just 100%.
Yeah. I mean, our subtitle is literally a conversation with theater makers. And the fact that we've been very successful with that so far is a great compliment to me.
And also, it's really fun and it gives me great pleasure and joy to watch our guests start the episode in one mindset or talking a certain way with a certain pace or whatever, and then open up and then they can't stop talking for the rest of the episode. And it's just like they took the episode and ran, which is amazing.
I'll hold other questions for later, but I was just curious.
I'm going to dive right in with a little Jeopardy that I created for you, Mary. This is to your taste.
You're nervous for my one question. I'm nervous for this whole game.
We were deciding what we were going to do for the episode, and I thought, let's play a little game here and there to get to know each other better. But this is like kind of trivia, and it's Sondheim Jeopardy, because I know you like Stephen Sondheim.
I do, but now you're going to make me feel like the worst fan in the world if I don't get all the questions right.
We've only got 5 questions here, so
okay, Mary, I'm going
to
dive right
in. And you have to answer them in the style of Jeopardy. So I'm going to say a statement, and you're going to say, what is?
Okay.
That's the real challenge.
Okay.
Okay. This concept musical won Sondheim his first Tony Award for Best Lyrics in 1971. This concept musical. Mm-hmm, that's the real trick here, or like the hint.
I like him leaning towards something, but I don't know if it won him a Tony Award. I've also never seen, fun fact, I've never seen this production in like live. I've only listened to it.
Okay.
Oh God, concept musical. Is it What Is Merrily We Roll Along?
No. I'll say one more hint. This concept musical currently running on Broadway won Sondheim his first Tony Award for Best Lyrics in 1971.
What Is Company?
Yes. So originally it was written as 11 one acts by George Firth, and then they made some songs.
I didn't know that.
Sondheim made some songs for it. Okay. Cinderella's prince typically doubles as this character in Into the Woods.
Oh, I know this, but I'm afraid I'm going to get this wrong.
No, you got it.
What is the wolf?
Yes.
Okay. But I was like, what is the name actually Wolf, or is it something else?
Big Bad Wolf. No, it's Wolf. I think it is Wolf.
Okay.
Stephen Sondheim shares a birthday with this other prolific musical theater composer.
Who is Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Yes, correct.
Oh my God.
This actress played Mrs. Lovett in the original Broadway cast of Sweeney Todd.
Who is Angela Lansbury?
Correct. And one more. This
can
one's
I just
a little
say real
harder.
Quick, so we're FaceTiming right now so we can see each other, and your faces make basically seem like I have got all of them wrong.
Well, that's my resting bitch face. What
it
can
is.
I say? This Roman set farce was the first musical Stephen Sondheim wrote both music and lyrics for. This one's tricky.
I mean,
I did this play in high school in my freshman year.
Is this a trick question?
No. This is a...
Okay. So what is...
It's a musical.
A funny thing?
Yes. A funny thing happened on the way to the forum.
Okay. I know. That was the first thing that popped to my head. And then I was like, wait, is this a trick question? He wrote both.
Nice.
It was the first one he wrote both to?
Yes.
Wow.
I learned that myself last night. Well, I knew it was his first. I didn't know it was the first one for music and lyrics.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Whew.
I went on like a deep Sondheim dive last night. You got 4 out of 5 right on your first try.
Oh, good. Wow. Okay.
Whew, congratulations. Right. Verified.
I bet
fan
you every
here.
Sondheim fan who's like a better Sondheim fan than I am is going to be like screaming
at the first
while
question.
They're listening to this.
I hope so.
I don't know how well this is going to go over, but we're going to try. So I listened to a podcast that I haven't actually listened to in months, it feels like, but it's called Showmance. And they play
yes.
a game called Showmance or Nomance, and all the questions are related to Glee because they were 2 actors from Glee. And honestly, I don't care for Glee that much, so and it doesn't apply
Let
to
give
us.
Give them credit, Jenna Ushkowitz and Kevin McHale, great
yes,
podcasters.
Yes. So I tried to change some questions.
What was my favorite musical production that I saw in the last year? I have to think about this. Damn.
Me too, because I'm not even sure what you've seen without me.
I think I have one in mind. Oh, God. Yeah, it's definitely that. Okay. Okay. Got it.
Was it like off Broadway?
No.
Was it on Broadway?
It was on the Broadway.
It was on the Broadway. Did we see it together?
We did not.
Okay. Because that's good, because that limits what I do know. Like, that's down the things that are possible.
You definitely know that I saw it, though. Think about last season. I'll give you that hint.
Was it a play?
No, you said musical. Musical production.
Right. I did.
Your question, Mary.
Oh, my God. This is so hard. You see so many things, Brian. I think you see like more things than anyone else I know in life. Like more theatrical productions.
Oh, boy. It's a lot of pressure. You know, I'm really upset, though, because in January and February, I didn't see a single Broadway show. And that wrecked my over 2 year streak of seeing at least one a month.
Whoa.
I had a streak going for at least 2 years of seeing at least one show a month.
Did you see anything besides Six in March?
Yes, I saw Tina.
Oh, right.
And then I was supposed to see more, but then they got canceled.
I saw Hangman the day before we saw Six. That was it. That was it for March. Okay.
All right.
Is it currently still running?
Yes.
I have no idea, Brian.
You're going to really like kick yourself for this one. All right, just guess.
Oh, Hadestown?
Yes, it was Hadestown.
Holy crap. Thank God.
All right, here's another question. What do you think my Hogwarts house is?
Do you actually know?
I do.
Okay, good. I like want to say that you're a Gryffindor, but I also think that I feel like you're going to come out of like the left wing and be like, I'm a Slytherin.
What's your final guess?
I'm going to go with Slytherin. I'm going to stick strong. It's going to be like the left wing one.
Nope. I am a Gryffindor.
Oh my gosh. Me too.
I'm a Gryffindor.
Me too,
Brian. With hints and shades of Slytherin tendencies, I like to say.
Yeah. I can definitely see that.
You feel that?
Yeah. I can't believe I'm a Gryffindor. When I took that quiz, I was like, this is a lie. This is such a lie. But I mean.
You know, I kind of think you are, but I think you, again, give off some other shades of, I don't know. What would you say that you are?
I mean, when I was younger, I always wanted to be Hufflepuff only because I liked the name, like for no other reason. Like no other. I didn't even know what the qualities really were back then of a Hufflepuff, but you know.
Team Gryffindor.
Okay, so can we do some would you rathers?
This is simple, theater related. Would you rather see a play or a musical?
I mean, my gut is musical. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with my gut just because that was the first thing that came to my mind. But so we'll say musical.
Okay. Would you rather have all the traffic lights you approach be green or never have to stand in line again?
I don't drive, so never have to stand in line again.
I knew you were going to pull that one.
And I don't drive, and also I hate driving, so I haven't had to drive since I got to Delaware, so thank you, quarantine. Would you rather read the play or see the play first?
See the play, yeah.
I agree.
And honestly, I say that a lot, even when people are saying, like, read it before you see it. And it's like, no, I mean, like, these words are meant to be heard out loud, and they're meant to be heard by other people embodying other people. So
yep.
let me digest it that way first.
Yep, I agree. I'm curious as to this one because you're not really either of these things, or you don't really do either of these things. Would you rather, for the rest of your life, if you had to choose one, would you rather sing or would you rather dance?
Oh, I'd rather sing. I'm a total singer.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay, this is breaking news because I never knew that you were a singer.
Yes. Actually, fun fact, I was an acting major in college, but every show that I was cast in, I was cast for my singing abilities, except for one.
Oh my God, Brian, give us a little like example. Come on.
You're going to have to ask Montclair State University to get into their archives to hear some demos.
This is live theater.
This is live podcasting pre-recorded.
All right. Everyone out there, we will get Brian to sing eventually.
Mm-hmm,
maybe you can sing like a new intro song for us.
Oh, wow. That sounds so appealing for me to want to edit that too. But yes, oh, I'm totally not a dancer. Even I took one tap and one jazz class in college, and that was the extent of my dancing in college.
Oh my God.
Yep. Okay, so this is really totally geared towards you. Would you rather be unable to use search engines or unable to use social media?
For my personal life, I would like to not use social media, but for my career, that would be not good. So,
right. That's the real, it's the real question here. It's the battle.
Especially right now. I think I'm going to say social media just because right now I'm on it all the time, because, as we all know, during this coronavirus time, everyone is on social media, and digital marketing is huge right now. But it is very difficult for me. So I'm going to go with social media.
Perfect.
Although I don't know why I'm going to need, you know, like a search bar.
Do you have any more would you rathers?
No, that was it.
Okay,
but I have
one
some
more.
Questions. You have one more. Okay, go ahead.
Would you rather travel the world for a year on a shoestring budget or stay in only one country for a year but live in luxury?
I think I'd rather travel on a shoestring budget.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. I'd like to see more. Yeah.
I mean, because I already live on a shoestring budget, I feel like.
There we go.
So, like, let's just the world on that same budget.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right. I'm interested for your questions.
Okay. So, we know that your favorite musical production you saw this year was Hadestown, but do you have the most memorable experience you've had at the theater? Was there, like, a specific moment that you either experienced with like a person you went to see the show with, or was it something from the show?
Oh, that's really difficult because, like you said, I see so much that over the years I've seen just so many plays and musicals and with so many different people and like so many different experiences, and like each one is like a little special nugget in my life, I feel like. But my favorite musical is Wicked. I was able to see the 10th anniversary performance on October 30th, 2013. And I got a bunch of my like Wicked diehard friends. And it was really magical night at the theater. Just like being in a room with people who are just as crazy as you to like buy a ticket for that night. And then you got like the 10th anniversary playbill, which was really nice and green. Oh,
and you love your playbills. You treasure
them. You know
it.
You know it.
Okay. So what has been the most like challenging piece to this puzzle of podcasting?
Time. Like, I think the most challenging piece is getting our schedules to match up, and then a third person who is going to be our guest to match up, and then getting it, if we're going to record at the BPN studio, getting that time to match up. We both have really full lives and schedules. And so that's sometimes very difficult. But when we get into the groove, we really seem to get into the groove.
We take advantage of the time that we have.
Yeah, I think that's the most challenging part.
Cool. Okay. Do you have like a current favorite non-theater podcast that you're listening to right now?
Oof, that's a good question. I do. And I haven't been as good about listening to it because I've just been trying to listen to audiobooks and like try and do other things lately, but Office Ladies podcast, and they recap every episode of The Office starting with episode one, and they're on season two, I think, right now.
My sister has been listening to that recently.
The only downside to listening to their episodes is that they have so many ads, and they're like 5-minute chunks, like four times in the episode, and it's like 20 minutes of ads and like 40 minutes of podcast.
I've never seen The Office. Fun fact.
Wow. Well, the fun fact is I just finished it for the first time 2 months ago.
Oh, so this podcast is pretty timely for you.
Yes. I wouldn't start the podcast until after I had finished the finale.
Is there anything when you listen to other podcasts that like kind of sparks ideas for ours?
Yes.
Or anything that where you're like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know if that would work for our format, or just like anything you pick up on because you have this experience now.
Yeah. Sometimes I think about the way that other people conduct theirs. And it is very interesting, though, to see everybody's format and how their format works for their concept. I like when certain podcasts ask questions that I think we could kind of share and borrow. Fun fact, our last question, what was the last great piece of theater you saw, was inspired by a podcast that I listen to currently, well, I've been listening to for the past 2 years, which is The Big Picture. And they always ask as a final question whenever they have a guest on, because they don't always have guests on their podcast. They ask, what was the last great film that you saw? So I really like that. And when we were doing ours, I was like, what if we tweaked it a bit and made it theater centric?
Yeah. And it's been very interesting to hear people's responses. And also, I swear, we need to film these now, because the faces that our guests make are always the same. They're always like, oh my, I mean, I'm going to make the face now and you can't see it because this is an audio platform, but like, they're always like, oh my God, it's so funny.
It is.
That's like a harder question to ask or to answer than the other questions that were like, they were asking them. Like, that's like the most pressured question.
Yeah. And it has so much weight, even though it's not personal at all, really. It's like, what was the last great piece of art, you know?
And they didn't have to tell us if they'd not seen this last. Like, they could have seen this 2 years ago, but that was like, to them, that was the last greatest thing that they've seen. And I really like the question. I'm so glad that you suggested that. I mean, we're first trying to figure this thing out.
Just like we're figuring this episode out.
Yes, we are. We're killing it. 1 year in. Well, actually, speaking of being 1 year in, though, I just think it's interesting that how our confidence has boosted. I mean, I don't
confidence know. Confidence or competence?
I said confidence, but if you want to talk about competence, that's also fine. No, I just mean, I mean, I guess I can't really speak for you, but when I listen back on some of our episodes, I just feel like, for me specifically, just knowing how to navigate the conversation has been a little bit better. And I just feel more confident of just like taking over the conversation in the sense of like navigating it more properly, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, another podcast that I listen to, another theater one, Guys Who Like Musicals, they always talk about their transitions, and they're always very, like, very keen on making note of their transitions and saying, oh, that was a good transition. And I kind of like that they bring attention to the fact that they're transitioning and kind of patting themselves on the back with their transitions, because it is a very real thing for podcasters to transition from one subject to another smoothly. And it really does give you a sense of accomplishment when you do that. And I feel like that's what we've gotten better at doing.
Yeah, I used to tell Brian at the beginning when we first started this to be like, If I ever say so more than like 5 times, like just start cutting them out.
And then I say, but they're so connected to other words that we can't cut them out. So they live there forever. But we all do it.
Yeah. There are definitely things that like that I even listen to on other people's podcasts that like even they may not be aware of. But
Oh, yeah. And my Jersey accent, when I hear that.
Hear what?
When I hear my Jersey accent, I'm like, oh boy.
I don't really pick up a Jersey accent all the time for you, or even at all for you.
It's very occasional where I'll slip and say like all.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, now that you bring it up, I'll probably pick it up more because that's usually how that works. And now all of our listeners will also be like noting every time that you, your Jersey slips.
That's exactly what I wanted.
Is there anything looking ahead into like the next year of this thing? Because we have no plans on stopping right now.
No.
Is there anything that you are hoping that we can accomplish? Because let me just start by saying that we started this and never intended to, I mean, first of all, be a part of like a network that was not even on my radar. We started the podcast because we felt that there weren't enough theater podcasts out there in the platform, but also there weren't a lot of theater podcasts that weren't focusing on Broadway. And so I feel like we've really accomplished on that side. But I also am very excited that we're a part of the network and to meet other people who are doing the same thing. And, you know, we all have a similar goal and trying to support each other in some way or the other. We never really had a goal, I don't think.
No, it is interesting because like I told you about those 2 times I went to speak with my, a high school class and then a college class about starting the podcast and all that kind of stuff and self-producing content. And they always said like, was this your goal from the beginning? And I was like, no, I mean, this wasn't even like in sight. So it just kind of came out of nowhere. And I think like you hear that story time and time again from people that things just come out of nowhere. And then when it happens to you, you don't even realize it's happening.
So the only goal that I think we had when we started this was to share stories of people who we don't often hear from. And I think that we've succeeded in that while also still, you know, including those people who you have heard from, like the actors specifically. And
yeah,
we've done that. And now I don't know where we go from this. I don't even know if you have any ideas.
So then I will answer this and say, like, my goal would be to just keep offering and having people on the podcast that we don't get to hear from. So there's still like a running list in my head of people that we haven't heard from, whether that be somebody that works backstage on a show. Maybe that's a sound designer, a lighting designer, a set designer, a designer, anything like that. Props, like truly anybody that's part of the creative progress. Yeah. Box office, front of house managers.
Management, people who work in the management.
Exactly. There's those hidden jobs that we don't even know about. Those are the jobs that I'm really like craving to have on.
Yeah. We definitely have like lists of people that we'll every few weeks or a few, you know, a month or two will go by and we'll like touch base and we'll say, hey, like who can we get in from this? And what I think is really great, and I don't even know why it took me by surprise, but the first time we had a guest on and after we finished recording, they were like, who else would you want to interview, or who else would you want to sit down with and like talk with? And they like straight up connected us with other people that they know. And then we had them on. I mean, the first one that comes to mind was Misha, and he recommended Craig. Mm-hmm. And then Craig recommended
Ryan.
And like, that was just like, it was just really cool because it like was a true sense of community and like people looking out for people. So we'd love more of that. So if anyone listening has any recommendations or people that they think that we should chat with, like send us a message.
Yeah. Well, that's another goal of mine too, is to be a little more bold about who we reach out to and kind of like go for people that aren't really in our inner circles anymore. Try and ask a friend to connect us, because those like that, I think that'll be how we kind of get out of our own circle of people, you know?
And we've done that a little bit. Like, we reached out to some people who it was a cold reach out, like Hunter. I didn't know him before. I knew of him, obviously. And we just reached out and he said, yeah, which was great. I mean, you reached out to get Stevie. You reached out to a mutual friend.
That's true.
And he was great.
Yeah.
We love her.
Well, yeah, that we loved Stevie.
we could have Stevie back for a part two, because we didn't even really to talk about half her job. I mean, she afterwards was like, oh my God, we didn't talk about like Playbill, like key art.
Oh yeah. Like, that's the other part of behind the scenes of this podcast, is that we finish recording and we're like, oh my God, we forgot to ask this, or, oh no, we didn't even get to this whole section of your career that is expansive and full of more episode.
Yeah. Maybe we could explore like two parters in the next year.
Yeah. That'd be something I'd be down for. I'm going to dive in with my questions, and we can always come back to yours if you have any more. What's the Broadway show that you've seen the most, like multiple times?
Yeah. So I make it like a thing of mine that I try not to see shows more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I like to keep it in my memory of how I saw it the first time. That being said, through my freelance job with Broadway Teachers Workshop, I have had the luxury of getting to see shows more than once. I want to say it's probably a toss-up between Dear Evan Hansen and Something Rotten, which, saying out loud, is so hysterical. Because I'd rather go and see more things than see a lot of things more than once.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I don't know if that's strange or not, but that's just kind of how it's always been. Now that being said, like, I love to see different productions of the same show. So like, I could see, like, I have seen, actually, in fact, I've seen a few productions, a different, like regional Broadway, like high school productions of like Once on This Island. And that to me is kind of fun, because you're not comparing them, and I'm never actually comparing productions, even if they're at the same quote unquote level, but just to kind of see like how each type of community uses their resources to the best of their ability. So like, how does a high school production use Once on This Island? How do they use the kids that they have, or the volunteers that they have working behind the scenes, or if they have a group of students who are working behind the scenes, like how are they building the set versus like the most recent Broadway production of Once on This Island, and how that, you know, their budget is obviously 1,000 times different and bigger than a high school production. So that's, yeah, So I guess the answer to your question would be probably Dear Evan Hansen, and then Something Rotten would be like a close runner-up.
If you weren't working in the theater, what could you see yourself doing?
I don't have an answer because I don't know if we mentioned this in our first episode, but like I went into college being a psych major and then quickly changed to English education and then quickly dropped to just English. And the whole time I found myself like scooting closer and closer and closer to theater. So I don't think I ever really had like a plan B. I mean, I guess with my social media marketing experience, like I could take that and put it on anything.
True. Yeah.
So I could do that for, I mean, probably not for any company, but I could do that for a different type of job. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of family members who are in the medical field. And so sometimes I'm like, do I have what it takes? And the answer is no. The answer is always no.
You always ask our guests if they have someone who is a mentor in their lives that encouraged them to get where they are. I'm going to flip the question on you and ask if you've had someone in your life that you would consider a mentor.
Yes. Yeah. I think I asked the question because I have the answer to for myself.
Right. I figured.
And I think a lot of, yeah, I feel like a lot of
I totally do too.
Yeah. But even you can say that for a lot of our other types of questions, you know what I mean? So, okay. So the answer to that question is, I mean, who got me started was my high school teacher, Amanda Chaz, she was the drama teacher and then she was the director of the musical my last 2 years. I wasn't cast as a lead my senior year. And it was like weird for me, but I was actually okay with it because I sat down and talked to her about it. And then she like encouraged me to like, I was the dance captain. And then I helped with like, I literally designed the playbill and like I did other things behind the scenes. And like that really piqued my interest in like what else is out there in theater. And because of that year and that time, I'm doing all this other stuff now because I became aware of it through that moment and through that lack of getting cast as a lead in White Christmas, the musical. She's like the core mentor for me. Hmm. And we still keep in touch. And now I'm like helping her create like a workshop program that will essentially bring people like an artist in residencies down to work with her kids. So that's been really exciting. And I am honored that she's asked me to help. And I am grateful that I have the resources to actually help her, which has been really cool and kind of like a whole like 360 moment. Cause like, it doesn't feel like the student became the teacher and all that nonsense, but it's really just been like now I get to help someone who helped me for so many years.
Pay it forward. What was your first musical obsession? Cause I think we all have that Hairspray. First obsession that, okay.
Actually, no, she blurted no, that's, out. That's not true. Les Mis. I was like literally 4 years old seeing Les Mis and then obsessively watching what I think is the 10th anniversary on VHS, you know, that rectangle block. And just obsessively watching it. I used to like drag the little dustpan thing and like stand it up and pretend like it was a mic. Like
I thought you were going to say you played out Little Cosette.
I mean, with the dustpan. No, I played Eponine at 5 years old. I was playing Eponine because I knew exactly what she was experiencing. I knew what every single line was in that song. I knew how she was feeling it at 5 years old. It wasn't Little Cosette. I took the leap to the other one. So it was Les Mis, but then Hairspray when I got to high school was the first Broadway show that I saw. And I saw it twice, actually. And it was just like, I don't know, just like really, I loved the messaging. I like, obviously the dance is really fun. I knew nothing going into it the first time I saw it. In fact, the first time I saw it, I was in literally the last row in the mezzanine. And the second time I saw it, which was the following year, I was literally first row. And it was just I was like, wow, this is like an entirely different show. Like, I didn't know anything about it. You know what I mean? I didn't really know anything about Broadway even.
But yeah, it's really special to think back to those experiences, those firsts.
Yeah, for sure.
And wish you could see those shows again without the knowledge of everything that goes on behind the scenes.
Yes, I sometimes wish. I think about that all the time now.
Especially when I watch movies, I'm totally ruined. And my high school theater teacher, she did say to us, she's like, I'm going to ruin you all. You're never going to be able to watch a movie the same way again. And she was correct. Mm. Like we constantly are like, oh, that was a different take. Oh, they're not really looking into each other's eyes right now. Oh, this is that. And I feel like it's the same thing in a show too. You see the light. It's not just part of the world anymore. You hear the sound effects. It's not just part of the world.
Oh, that's so interesting. I never think about it for film because I don't have that experience. But whenever I sit in theater now, I'm always looking for like things. I'm always like, when like a set is first introduced, I'm always like analyzing the set and trying to take it all in. Or if there's something with like the sound design that I pick up that's like very obviously different because I don't have a lot of experience or any experience with sound or sound design. But yeah, I kind of wish though, sometimes I go in and I'm like, oh, I wish I could just see this for like what it is. I mean, I guess that's not really true, but like, I guess I could go in without having that like behind the scenes experience. Or like, sometimes I love when I go to see a show and I don't know anybody, because that still keeps the magic alive. And it's so weird to think that like there are actually people that I know, and this isn't just for Broadway, but there are people like that I could know in a show, and like it kind of, I'm like, oh, my friend, or here's this person that I've worked with, or like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, it is hard. Even when you see a show and you see one person in it, and then you go to see another show and that same person's now in that show, moving from one to the next.
Yes. But there is also something special about going to see something to support, like while you're supporting a friend.
Right.
Like when I saw a show that a friend wrote this past year, and like that was really special to me because I had seen some of the process, and then getting to see what was the first, you know, sit down was really exciting. And then to kind of continue through the process and then getting to meet some of the people who have been a part of it, you know, it's special and it's in a different way, ultimately.
It's like, I've had that experience a lot in the past year or two, you know, with a lot of my friends just getting out of school and booking their first jobs. Like, for example, when I first saw Matt in Anastasia for the first time, you know, Matt's somebody that I've known since I was 5 years old. So to go to a Broadway show, see him on stage, and then take the bow, and like, just when the ensemble members are bowing for me and Stan to stand up and like give him a standing ovation and stuff, and he could like literally see us and wave to us from the middle of the orchestra, which was pretty cool. Going to a movie theater and seeing Misha in The Goldfinch this past October, like on the big screen, somebody I went to school with and a friend of mine, like all those really amazing experiences supporting friends is great.
That's such a good question, Brian. That's such a good question.
What is your current obsession? Your current obsession that's not theater related. What is your current non-theater related obsession?
I mean, I want to say podcast, because I've actually, since we've started this podcast, ironically, I've listened to less theater podcasts because I've also found that like, because now this is my career and it's like all consuming in all areas of my life, that I am looking for outlets that are outside of it. And at first that was photography, but then photography quickly became like, I was doing photography with theater people, which is totally great. And I've met a lot of great people through that experience, but then it was ultimately theater related. But I think podcasts, and specifically the two that I've been like listening to off and on over the last few months, have been Directionally Challenged, which is two female actors who are in their 30s who thought they would have like had their life together by 30. Turns out they don't. And they're both married and have kids and all this stuff. But they're like, we need some help. They need some direction, hence the name. And so they bring on different people. They have different experts, I should say, and they have different topics that are like all sorts of different topics. It could be mental health. It could be breastfeeding, which obviously doesn't apply to me right now, but it's still very interesting to hear about. It could be gun laws with what was happening, you know, over the last several years. And yeah, it's just really fun because I'm like nearing my 30s and I definitely identify with that whole like, my life should have been together by the time that I'm 30. It probably won't be, and that's okay. So that's been really cool. I listened to, after I saw Cursed Child a few months ago now, I listened to Potterless, which is a guy who's literally my age, who 4 years ago or 3 years ago, he started a podcast and he never read the Harry Potter series before. And so he was doing it chapter by chapter and releasing an episode with someone and then talking about it with someone who had read the books growing up. And so that's really fun. So yeah, I would say podcasts that are not theater related specifically. Like, I'm looking right now for ones that are not. I started off podcasting with true crime, and then I went to theater podcasts, and now I'm just looking for, like, lifestyle or, like, quirky themed ones. So that's been cool.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, my God.
We're getting real deep now.
I mean, I love a good chocolate. Anything chocolate is probably a winner in my book.
Cool.
What about you?
Mine's mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip. I never liked that growing up. And everyone that I was friends with thought that I was so weird because I didn't like mint chocolate chip. I mean, I like it now, but it's not my grab go-to.
I have one more game.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. I was originally going to call this top three, but that might be too much pressure for you. So I'm just going to call it triple play, and you could interpret triple play however you'd like.
Okay.
Whether that be the first three that come to your mind, your top three, whatever you think.
Okay.
People you want on the podcast.
You know, we get this question all the time, Brian, and you're always the first person to answer it. And I never answer it because I can never think
That's
of anything.
That's why I'm going to force you to answer just to put them out there.
Okay. Diane Paulus, hands down. Diane Paulus, I've loved her and I've admired her work for years. And actually, when I wanted to be a director, she was always the person I looked up to, and I still look up to her. And I've like communicated with her for a few things now, and she's always so lovely. And shout out to her assistant, also named Mary, because she's kick-ass. Who else? This is really hard, you guys. Because I can think of it more of like...
You could say Jobs, too.
Okay, yeah. So I definitely want someone...
So Diane Paulus,
duh. Then I'd love to interview someone who's in the sound design world. I literally have zero experience in sound. I just have a lot of questions. And also, I just want to hear them talk about their job. Because the other thing is that we never hear from them. They're not represented anywhere in media to talk about their craft. They're not even shown on Tony Awards live. Like, I just want to hear them talk about what they do. And that's it. I don't even need to ask them questions. I could just be like, can you just talk to me about this whole show or this, like, how you get from here to here, and then just let them ramble. And honestly, it would be so amazing. So sound design, yeah. Diane Paulus. Third one, scenic design, like a scenic designer I am fascinated by. Even in high school, I was fascinated by the work that my fellow students would do to create the sets. And actually, when I was a freshman in college, I came back and I helped scenic design parts of when they were doing Hairspray. So that was pretty cool. So a scenic designer for sure.
Cool.
Maybe David Gorins would be really cool. Just gonna like, that's like the first name. Or
there you go.
Scott Ask has been really cool. I like his work. Anna Luizos, honestly, I've seen a ton of her stuff because she set designed a lot of stuff at Bucks County Playhouse, and I love her work.
Okay. Shows you wish you can go back in time to see. Three shows.
Into the Woods. The original cast of Into the Woods. Probably that original production of Les Mis too, like live.
London or Broadway?
London. The other one that comes to mind, that production, and I'm going to mess up the pronunciation of this theater, but it's down, I think, down south. This Serenity Playhouse. They did this production of Titanic like 2 years ago, but they put it on a lake.
Yes. Was that in Georgia?
Yes.
Yeah, yo, I do remember seeing that. That looked so cool.
I saw like a promo video, or there was a video that went like semi-viral or was posted on Playbill or something. And I was like obsessed with this because I've always been a fan of like, I came from the black box theater world. And then I just loved like getting very creative with like the set piece, like the set component of telling the story. So I really wish I saw that production on Titanic.
Movies you'd like to see turned into musicals or plays, or vice versa, plays or musicals you'd like to see turned into a movie.
But
you can interpret that however you want.
For you too, actually.
Oh, then let's both do it.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So movies that I wish could get turned into a play, or a play that could get turned into a movie. I'm not a big movie person, so this is very interesting. This is why I chose it for you, because you see a lot of movies. I don't see a lot of movies. Do you have an answer that you could chime in with?
I was very touched by Marriage Story. I would like to see a play out of Marriage Story. But a lot of people are saying, oh, Marriage Story is just, you know, the last 5 years as a movie. But it's so not. I don't want to hear that.
I don't think it is, though.
No. Did you see Marriage Story?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't think it's the same thing. So that's one of them. A second one that I would like is, honestly, I just, because it's my one of my favorite movies, Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
And I feel like that would be a play. I don't think we'd be able to make it a musical, but prove me wrong, people. Prove me wrong and send me the sheet music. And then another one that I think would lend itself to a musical is Lady Bird.
Haven't seen that either.
Oh, so good.
If anyone wanted to know what like a normal conversation between me and Brian is, this is it. This is Brian saying, talking about a movie and me being like, oh, I've not seen it.
That's correct. But I know that I just used like three pretty recent movies as examples, but like those are like three stellar movies in my book. And Lady Bird also has Merrily We Roll Along within it. Like they're putting on as their school musical, Merrily We Roll Along. So that's theatrical enough already. And it's, God, it's just so many great people. I would want the cast to do it on Broadway too.
I have no answer.
That's okay.
So I know you're feeling, you're very particular. You're like the only person I know that's super particular when it comes to seeing shows. And I'm curious as an audience member trying to strip away your...
Hold on, like, I want to pause right there. Pause. I want to say that I'm not the only person you know. I'm the only person that's vocal to you about it. I bet everybody is
particular. Actually, really what it is I probably see more shows with you where you talk about it right there in the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's really it. Okay. So what do you look for when you sit down to see a play or a musical that makes you like excited about theater? Is there a specific piece? Like, are you looking for like a really solid, like set that matches the tone really well? Are you looking for good dialogue or good chemistry or good, like, I mean, I say good and that's not, you can't measure good, but is it the direction? Is it the actors? Is it the whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, I could go through literally every piece of the show and break it down by what I'm looking for. But in the end, it doesn't, like you said, set, right? So for me, it doesn't matter if you have this huge, big, lavish set or if you have a stripped down concept with no set. Like I'm very flexible in that sense, but I am always looking for going back to the text and what you can draw from the text and what the playwright intended. And I think that that's like my training in school of what they taught us. And for direction and acting, I'll talk about those specifically because those are two things that are always like high on my list when I look for things. Directing is one of those hard things because you don't know if it's the director's fault or if it's the fault of the actors or the lighting or all these other elements because they're in charge of everything else, right? But a good director can take everything that people are putting out there and direct it in the right way. Towards in the right direction, right? And have everything seem like it's coming from the same piece and the same world and like is creating this big world that you forget.
What do you mean by right direction though?
Well, I don't mean right direction. I just mean like establishing a foundation for what this world is going to be and what the concept might be of the show that he's directing or she or whatever. And taking that and building from that concept or that, I really like conceptual direction, but like always following the rules. And of course, technically speaking, I do enjoy when things are balanced or, you know, or if it's not balanced, why is it not balanced? Stuff like that. Visually, I'm very picture oriented when I'm looking at stages and like what kind of pictures you can create if you take away the text with the blocking, right? And then for the specific actors, in my mind, my determining factor of what they're doing on stage is fake or real is dependent a lot on how their vocal production is. If their voice sounds fake to me, then they're fake and they're not really in the moment, in my opinion. It takes me out of it. If it sounds manufactured or if it sounds false and if it doesn't sound true, I don't believe it. So it's the actors that could really get in there with their vocal production and like you can tell that somebody memorized those lines versus they're live having a conversation with somebody on stage and is like going through each beat by beat.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Those are like the main things that I look for, but I never go in thinking I'm going to hate something or at least not allowing myself to accept what I'm about to see. Like when we saw Six, I thought to myself, based on listening to the cast recording, that I was not going to like it, but I thought, let me go and have an open mind and maybe take it for what it is and enjoy it. And I ended up loving it. So
you did. You really did.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the cast recording.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's high energy. It's good. It's good right now.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I knew you were going to want to ask something that had to do with my
face. That was kind of what I wanted to get out of you with like the surprise question. But mm-hmm. in my notes, I put like podcasting, which I should have just opened it up to like anything.
Mary, we ask all of our guests as a final question.
I was going to ask you this.
Great piece of theater that you've seen. So let's both answer it.
Oh my God. I really liked The Inheritance. Because I knew literally nothing about it going in. In fact, I thought I knew something about it and I was so wrong. Like I thought it was set like back in the 90s and the 80s. Like I did not realize that it was set like present day for the most part. I wish I could have seen it one more time just to like really, I feel like I wasn't able to like soak everything in because it was so much. I would love to sit down with Max Lopez just to like pick his brain. But I feel like that whole conversation could take like 2+ hours. To talk about a 7-hour play. What's your answer?
You know what? I'm going to have to go with the same thing because it was the last like great piece of theater. Like when I think about that question, like I don't necessarily think it has to do with overall, you know, I don't like to dig back. I like to go within a reasonable amount of time. And I think that that's still a reasonable amount of time, November, since we saw it. Yeah, that piece was transcendent. In a way, like, but also it was the experience of being in the room with all these other people that are experiencing something so
visceral.
That's the word I was looking for, with you at the same time. I mean, you would look around or hear all the sniffles and the people crying next to you and these men who are older than me who have experienced what was happening on stage. Just going through what it was like to live at that time. I mean, that's all I can imagine that they were doing in the theater was imagining how that time played out in their lives and how that personally affected them. So that was really transcendent.
Well, we also, during the part two of where we were sitting around a group of guys who were chatting with us before and then during the pause and the intermission. And I was just, I think I said to you, during the dinner break was like, I don't really know what it feels like, but I empathize and I sympathize, but I'm not a part of that community in that sense, but I've really felt like I could empathize with the story just because of everyone around us and the things that they were sharing.
I got to see part one when I was in London in the fall of 2018. And I only got to see part one. So then I saw part one again twice here on Broadway and then part two on Broadway. But it was interesting seeing the difference in the audiences between London and New York, experiencing this story that's about New York and New York history. It felt definitely more at home here and it felt like it hit much harder here. And maybe that's just the attitude and the what New York audiences, American audiences give off. Versus the British audience.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what else Matthew Lopez writes. And I'm also excited to see if The Inheritance gets revived either on Broadway or off Broadway or regionally, like in a few years or in a couple decades, just to see how the story further develops, just because we're then further away from that period of time, if you know what I mean.
Right. Oh, yeah. I so look forward to that. Like Angels in America, how they just had that great revival a couple of years ago and it still was really impactful. And they're doing The Inheritance again at the Geffen Playhouse in LA. And I would be really tempted to visit my friends in LA to see that production.
I can't believe that we're like starting off year two of Page to Stage. That's so wild.
We're starting it off strong.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hopefully you guys like this episode of us just like talking out of format of our normal episodes, but I think it's cool that you guys get to kind of hear from us a little bit more. We get to kind of share a little bit about us with all of you. Hopefully you like it.
Yeah, and I hope it wasn't too much of a ping pong back and forth of game and questions.
Yeah, maybe you can fix it in post a little bit.
You know what? No, they're going to like it for what it is. I have that feeling.
Yeah, that's fine. Cool. Well, it was nice to see you, Brian. I haven't even actually seen you. We've talked a lot, but I haven't seen you recently. So
no.
I actually really want to get a ticket to a show the first night Broadway opens, like reopens, because I think that energy in that theater could be so powerful. And just to be in any of the rooms would be really cool. So that's kind of my goal as soon as I find out like when we reopen as a community, like to get a ticket. Because I just, first of all, I think a lot of people, I think Broadway is going to financially just trip a little bit coming back and to just try to support as best as I can during that time also would be really cool.
Well, that'll be really cool. That's an amazing idea.
So we always ask the guests, how can we find you on social media?
Oh, well, you could find me on Instagram at Brian Sedita and at Page to Stage Podcast.
Plug our Instagram.
Where can we find you, Mary, on social media?
I so badly want to delete my Instagram, but for now, you can find me at The Mary Dina on Instagram and Twitter, and at Page to Stage Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
So check us out. Say hi. We would really like to hear from you guys in terms of any questions you guys might have. If you guys think we should do an episode like this again in the near future. Or if there's anybody that you'd like to hear from on the podcast.
Yeah, send us a DM or whatever. or whatever. or, you know, leaving us a little review, a sneaky little review.
Yeah, those really help.
BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com would be really cool.
Yeah, and that's really helpful. All the like people that have done Apple reviews for us. It casts a wider net for people to find us. It really helps with all those algorithms that they have in those search engines.
Yeah. Plus, it's been really cool. Every few months, I'll go in and I'll check to see if there's anything new and just to hear like what you guys are liking about our podcast and some of the pieces that you found interesting, and then trying to do more of that, because obviously that's what you guys are enjoying. So we appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. We will see you guys in 2 more weeks with another guest.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Page to Stage. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Page to Stage Podcast.
And if you're enjoying these conversations, we would really appreciate it if you could take a couple minutes to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.
That's Brian.
That's Mary.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.